You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here along with our MLB.com Phillies reporter Todd Zalecki. And Todd, the Phillies continue to play through September here. We're just about there. We'll get into the roster expansion a little bit, who we may see called up. I know we got into that a little bit last week, but maybe updates from that standpoint. I want to start though by talking about Ryan Howard, who has reached the 20-homer plateau. I don't know if anybody would have predicted that before the season, especially if they realized how infrequently he was going to be playing as far as at-bats go. So 20 homers in 276 at-bats, which is really about a half a season's worth. Maybe he's lost a little bit in the season, too, of how effective he's been. But he's produced somehow. He stuck with Philly the whole year. Obviously, he didn't get moved at the deadline. But it's been a nice season for Howard. Obviously, the average isn't there. But from a power standpoint, he's gotten the job done.
Yeah, the numbers surprised me a little bit. I looked them up last night because you're right. I said, wow, 20 home runs and 276 at-bats. I mean, that seems like a lot. And it is, certainly. You know, like you said, you double it for a full season. Now you're talking 40 home runs. It's his best home run rate since 2009. I think he's averaging a home run every 13.8 at-bats. In 09, he averaged a home run every 13.7 at-bats. So an interesting season, like in the sense that he's still hitting the ball hard. You look at his Statcast numbers, exit velocities among the top. I think he's in the top 50 among all big league hitters with at least 100 balls put in play. So he's hitting the ball hard. He's hitting home runs at a really good clip, but the average isn't there. You know, certainly the first 3 months of the season, his average was really abysmal. But I think, if I'm remembering the number correctly, since July 3rd of this season, he's hitting .299 with an OPS around .970. So, you know, it depends how you kind of want to look at him. If you look at him and say, wow, okay, these last you know, two months, pretty encouraging. You know, what might this mean for him in the future? You know, I think a lot of teams maybe that might have ruled him out for next season, you know, American League team or whatever, might go, the guy's still hitting some home runs. You know, if he can continue to hit the ball at a pretty decent pace the last month of the season, now I'm starting to think that he might be able to kind of latch on somewhere else in the off season and maybe kind of continue his career in that part-time, like, first base DH role in the American League.
And it surprised me to the point where I would have thought there would have been a little more interest in him at the deadline. Once most of that contract, obviously, paid by the Phillies, I mean, to have this guy on your bench, an American League team, or even a National League team, to be able to bring him in a pennant race and just pinch hit because, yeah, he may strike out, there's no question, but there's also a chance he's going to hit one out of the ballpark and come through with a big at-bat. I'm a little surprised that there wasn't a little more action revolving him from a trade standpoint. But you had spoken about the Phillies kind of wanting to hold on to him down the stretch too, so maybe that was part of it. I guess we'll never know why. But
right.
His playing time isn't going to get any better in September, it seems like. The comments are Tommy Joseph expected to play a little more in September. Why are those comments made now? Why is it now being said that we're going to play Tommy Joseph more? It's not like this team is just falling out of the race.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I think it's just a personal preference maybe for Pete. You know, the last month of the season, he just wants to make sure he can get as good, as long of a look as Tommy Joseph as possible. Maybe get him in there a little bit more against some right-handed pitching, because if they go into the spring training and he's the first baseman, or I should say, if they go into the offseason thinking he's the first baseman, they would at least like to be maybe a little bit more comfortable in the sense of, can he hit right-handed pitching? So I'm thinking maybe that's it. But personally, I think the way it's been going so far has worked out pretty well for both sides, you know, for Tommy Joseph and for Ryan Howard. And, you know, I think back to 2003 with Chase Utley and 2005 with Ryan Howard. You look at their rookie seasons, and they almost never played against left-handed pitchers. And, you know, so point being, nothing wrong with being eased into the big leagues a little bit. And, you know, so I don't necessarily think that if they continue to maybe start Ryan Howard once or twice a week against right-handed pitching, that would like stunt Tommy Joseph's development. But clearly they want to see a little bit more of him.
A guy that was thrown into the big leagues, of course, Tyler Goodell for this team, Rule 5 pick, so they had to keep him up. Once they had decided they had seen enough that they liked him, he had to stay on the big league roster. Hurt for a little bit. That helped them keep him around. But now I guess he's not going to play too much down the stretch. So that makes you think that next year, Goodell will obviously be a part of this Phillies organization now that he's stayed on the big league club all year long. He's headed back to some point in the minor leagues. Is that fair to say for the 23-year-old that he got through this year and like a lot of Rule 5 guys, now that the Phillies have control, he's going to go back to the minors and work on what needs to be worked on?
Yeah, I think so. And you know, Tim, this is the one situation that kind of perplexes me a little bit, because certainly if this was a contending team, you would understand kind of keeping Tyler Goodell on the bench and not really playing him that much and kind of hiding him and whatnot. But this is a team that's really not going anywhere, obviously. And he started 22 games in May. And in May, when he started those 22 games, he actually started hitting the ball pretty well. He was actually putting up some pretty decent numbers. Then Cody Ashe came back, and understandably so, they moved Tommy Goodell back to the bench, Tyler Goodell back to the bench. But since then, like I said 22 games started in May. He started 22 games since June, July, August on a rebuilding team. And they've been playing Jimmy Paredes a lot. You know, I personally think that, you know, Tyler Goodell, what's the harm in playing him? Give him a little bit more experience, because essentially since May, he's not really developed that much, because you can't really develop that much as a player without playing. So I'm a little surprised that Pete Maccannon has decided just to flat out say, I've seen enough of him. clearly, I guess he's not a huge Tyler Goodell fan, I guess you could say. Otherwise, he'd probably be playing him a little bit more. I would be fully expecting Goodell will start the season next year in AAA and play every day, just so the Phillies can continue to see him develop and hopefully maybe develop into a good fourth outfielder down the road.
It's been a bit of a rocky road for Jake Thompson so far in his major league career, but they made some changes to his delivery. And last time out, he goes 7 innings, allows just 2 earned runs. It was a tough luck game in that he faced a better pitcher on the other side, and the Phillies end up losing the game. But how hard is it to make? It seems like there were pretty significant changes for a young guy like him to be able to make that kind of change between 2 starts and then make it work in a game. It seems impressive.
It is, you know, and the thing I think that really impressed them the most is the fact that he was getting beat really hard those first 4 starts. He had not pitched more than 5 innings. And he seemed kind of upset about everything that had been going wrong with him. And he seemed more determined than ever to kind of get back on track. And they liked that tenacity, because we had started to ask Pete Maccannon and Bob McClure, any chance you might kind of pull him out of the rotation, just so he doesn't blow his confidence. And, you know, he starts believing that he can't get out big league hitters. And they said, no, we're going to kind of keep him in there at the moment. And they did, and one of the reasons is, like I said, they saw that he was really kind of angry that he wasn't pitching well, and that it wasn't a confidence issue, it was just maybe a mechanical issue. So they tweaked a few things with the deliveries coming out of the stretch and whatnot, and he enjoyed some success against a very good team. And I'll be honest, you know, going into that game Monday night against the Nationals, I was like, oh boy, I mean, for a guy that's coming off of 4 bad starts, this is really not the team that you want to be facing. A first-place Nationals team with a really good lineup, something to play for. They've been beating up on the Phillies quite a bit. Not exactly an ideal situation for Jake Thompson. But, after that first inning, he really shut it down and really pitched well. So that's encouraging.
We mentioned September, and we're pretty much there. So there's going to be some kind of call-ups. Last week we talked a little bit about the fact that some of these prospects are in pennant races down in the minor league level, and maybe they want to see them do that. But any updates as far as who is more likely now to get called up in September? It seems like Crawford and Williams are kind of out, but who are the likely guys that we will see in September?
Well, when we talk about prospects, you know, like the guys in the MLB pipeline list, the guys that, you know, these are the people that fans want to see. Roman Quinn, he suffered a concussion recently, but it looks like he'll be back before the end of the season, before the end of the AA Redding season. So the fact that he's on the 40-man roster, and if he is healthy, makes me think that he still has a decent chance to get a call up after Redding's season ends. Same thing with Jorge Alfaro. He already spent the day in the big leagues last weekend in New York, in between the Carlos Ruiz, AJ Ellis trade. AJ didn't get there until Saturday. They needed a backup catcher for Friday. Alfaro got called up, so that flat out tells you that Jorge Alfaro will be back after Redding's season concludes. You know, they want to get these guys as much postseason experiences as possible. Another named kind of watch is Alec Asher. He's finishing up that suspension for PEDs. He's ineligible for the postseason. So basically, once Lehigh Valley season ends, he will. I expect him to come up because, you know, Vince Velasquez is kind of getting near the end of the rope in terms of an innings count. Pete McCann said the same thing with Jake Thompson. So he said he expects to shut Velasquez and Thompson down at some point. And with Asher having a very, very fresh arm from not pitching for so many days, I think he'll be up. And then after that, it's really going to be your Luis Garcias, your Colton Murrays, those types of guys, Daliar Hinojosa, who in spring training looked like a potential closer. Those types of guys will come up to kind of fill things out. Cody Ashe, possibly Darren Ruff, somebody like that. But as far as prospects, like I said, Jorge Alfaro and Roman Quinn are the safest bets at this point.
And, hey, with the Phillies out of things at the major league level, let's root for those Redding Fightings and Lehigh Valley guys to make runs in the postseason. This has been MLB.com Extras, our Phillies edition. For Todd Zielecki, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next week.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.